The radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. And it is a wonderful Wednesday here in beautiful Brevard County. And if it's not up to your liking yet, just stick around. If you like it warmer, it's going to get warmer, I promise you. But we absolutely love it here, my wife and I. And are so thankful that God brought us this way. So I was talking to my father here a couple of weeks ago. You know, and Oklahoma has the same sort of saying about the environment that Florida does. If you don't like the weather, hang around for 15 minutes, it'll change. He said that he was outside doing some work and he had wore a jacket out there. And after a little while, he said, "Whew, this is a little warm. I might want to take this off," but he decided to leave it on. And he said about a half hour later, he said, "Oh man, this is feeling just about right." And about a half hour later, he's like, "You know, it's getting downright cold out here." And, you know, the weather changes. In fact, just about everything that we have in life changes. There is only one immutable thing. Only one immutable entity, to put it that way, and his name is God. God never changes. He is always the same. And one of the attributes about the God who never changes is he's always just. That is what we are going to be talking about on today's Refresh radio program. But first of all, we want to say thank you to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you have a problem with your air conditioner, it might be needing to be upgraded. You know, home values have gone up. We upgraded our AC system a few months ago. My electric bill has plummeted. And just like every other effort that I've done, as soon as we made our house more efficient, the rates went up. And so we're hoping that by the time we get done with everything that we are doing, that our electric bills will be much more less impactful on our budget during the summer months than they have been. Creative AC Solutions can help you with that. If you need a new system, if you're trying to nurse your old system as long as you possibly can, I understand. I've done that as well. 321-759-3284. You know, a lot of times we can talk ourselves into thinking that something minor is something big, but Creative AC Solutions, they're not going to treat you unjustly, as we tie that in with today's theme. They're going to treat you as a valued customer, and we'll give you a reasonable price for tremendous service. And I encourage you to call them if you are in the Central Brevard County area, 321-759-3284. So today we are going to be looking at that justice was a concept that was originally spoken of by God. And it is not a matter of law as much as it is a matter of relationship. You know, even the Ten Commandments, you know, they have to do with how you treat God and how you treat your neighbor, how you treat people in your community, how you don't treat people in your community. And so all of that began in the heart of God. We're going to go back to the life of Abraham. And tucked right in Genesis chapter 18, where God is about ready to, in the first part of chapter 18, God tells Abraham that Sarah is going to have a son. And it is that conversation that sets the stage for God telling Abraham, I'm getting ready to go deal with the unjust communities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's pick it up there, verse number 16. So this is Genesis chapter 18, verse number 16. It said, then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So this is God having a conversation with him, with himself and with the angelic messengers. And he says, I'm not going to hide this from Abraham. I'm not going to hide from Abraham what I am doing. The book of Revelation in chapter 1, it talks about it being the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that God does not do anything without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. Okay? So God is not into concealment. He is into revelation. Now, as you go on, we stopped our reading at verse number 19. You can see that the reason that God revealed this to Abraham was because he knew that Abraham was going to be interceding, if you will, on behalf of the communities, not on the basis of, they don't deserve judgment. That's not, but on the basis of God, there's some godly people. He knew that Lot was there, and he negotiates all the way down to 10 people. Now, you had Lot. You had Lot's wife, you had Lot's two daughters, and so 10 seemed like a reasonable number. Do you realize that if he had negotiated it all the way down to 5, he would have still come up short? I remember very early on is like, I wonder why Abraham stopped there. And you read in the New Testament that Lot was vexed in his righteous soul. You go on into chapter 19, and you will read about the family of Lot fleeing, and that his Lot's wife turned back. She was already missing. She wasn't turning back to watch the spectacle of the destruction. She was looking back, lamenting the community that was going to be no more. So I believe that God knew that Abraham would intercede on behalf of this community. You know, God is a just God. He is also a merciful God. Those two terms are not contradictory. God is 100% just, and he is 100% merciful. So, you know, when we were getting ready for Easter, a lot of times we talk about that Jesus took the punishment for our sins. He was satisfying the righteousness of God. He was satisfying, he was fulfilling all righteousness. He was fulfilling the word of God. He was fulfilling the law and the prophets. He wasn't undermining it. He wasn't attacking it to destroy it. He was fulfilling it so that we could experience the grace of God. So God looks at Abraham, and in this conversation he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing since, S-I-N-C-E, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. When we're talking about justice, And you and I want to be seeking justice, like we talked about in Isaiah chapter 1. When we're seeking justice, God says, the reason that I'm going to reveal this to Abraham is because I know without a doubt he is going to become a great and mighty nation. I deal with people, and a lot of times people want to look at things in their present condition without seeing the potential. And with God, he not only knows its potential, he knows it is future reality, since he shall surely. There is a certainty, there is a declaration by God. And I would much rather live under the well-founded, well-formed knowledge of God speaking over my life than I would having to live under the short-sighted, negative, discouraging words that people who only know the present condition instead of the potential for what God can do. With God, all things are possible. So he said, Abraham shall surely become a great nation and a mighty nation. And he goes on and he talks about that there's a purpose in that potential, and that purpose is all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where in verse number 1, just read verse number 2, where God says to Abram, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The Bible talks about that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. God has revealed this promise to him in chapter 12. He reaffirms the promise to him again here in chapter 18, and his witness is true. Jesus, when he was being confronted, he always deferred to the Father's testimony and said, this is what God has to say about this. Whatever the devil tries to hinder you from becoming, realize that there is a purpose that God has for you in becoming that. The devil is not just trying to be mean to you or limit your potential. He is trying to undermine the purpose of God. So Abraham has potential, Abraham has purpose, and God goes on in verse number 19 and says this, for I have known him. I have known him. It's not just because God has a good feeling. God knows us all. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He not only knows the facts of our life, he knows the essence of our life. He knows our heart. He knows our relationship with him. This term known wasn't just some detached knowledge. It was generally used for a knowledge of an intimate relationship. For I have known him, and there was a purpose in God knowing him. You know, the New Testament talks about that people will say, Lord, Lord, let us in. He says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not that he never knew that they existed. He never knew them because they never allowed for the development of relationship with him. You know, I have this approach to relationships, and it is I allow people to determine the depth of our relationship. This goes with ministers. This goes with people in the congregation. There are people that come to church once in a while, and they just kind of want to wave at you, you know, and from a distance. And, you know, if they see you once or twice a year, well, you know, that's the level of relationship that they are comfortable with. I mean, I still try and make myself available and keep up with their birthdays and what's going on in their family and all, but they're the ones that are not moving that relationship forward. I've got people that like to keep you at an arm's length. But then there's other people that, man, they enjoy growing in Christ. They enjoy my fellowship, our company. They enjoy being around us, and those relationships are tremendous relationships. God says, "For I have known him in order," here's the purpose, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him." Now, you have to realize that Abraham had more servants than children. He had, you know, when he went to rescue Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were overrun by kings, he took 318 of his trained men. He didn't go rescue the kings themselves. On purpose, he went because he was rescuing his nephew Lot. And so, you know, he had a servant, and you know, he said, "Look, this is my heir." Ishmael comes along, and then Isaac comes along shortly after this. So he says, and in fact, there is a hidden promise here in this verse that would reaffirm Abraham's faith in what God has told him at the beginning of chapter 18. Listen to it, because at this point in time, the only child that he has is Ishmael. "For I have known him in order that he may command his children." That's plural. That means, look, I told you you're going to have another kid, and now I'm going to reveal something to you. And it is because you are not just going to have that one child. You are, and Abraham had told God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," and God said, "Well, Ishmael might be blessed." And God said, "I am going to bless Ishmael, but my covenant is going to be with Isaac." And that's in chapter 17. Then God said, 17:17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?' And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.' Then God said, 'No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year.' Then he finished talking with Abraham, and God went up from Abraham." Okay, so there was all of that was going on. Ishmael was going to be blessed. Isaac was going to be the covenant, but there were other children that were born to Isaac as well. Sarah died, and Abraham ended up having another wife, Keturah, I believe was her name. And she ended up having a lot of kids. And when it came time for Abraham to die, it said that he gave gifts to him. I preach a message her name was Keturah. It's in Genesis chapter 25, that there are people that they are gifted, there are people who are blessed, and there are people who walk in covenant. Nothing wrong with being gifted, but don't let that stop you. Giftedness does not mean that you're blessed, and it does not mean that you are walking in covenant. There are people who are gifted, and there are people who are blessed, and they stop there. Don't let that become your ceiling. Walk in covenant with God. So he says that Abraham will command his children and his household after him, and there were three things. One, that they would keep the way of the Lord. Okay? Remember, we talk about Moses all the time. Moses cried out, God, teach me your ways. Abraham had believed God, and it was credited to him for the second thing there, which is righteousness. So Abraham was to teach his children to believe God more than the information that they have, believe God more than what other people might have to say about that. God will not deny himself. He will not let you down. He will command his children and his household after him that they may keep the way of the Lord, that they would do righteousness and justice. Okay, so I told you at the beginning of this that justice is not a matter of law as much as it is a matter of relationship. So everything that we have talked about, that there was potential and there was purpose, I have known him and there was a purpose for the knowledge. And when God says, I'm going to command him to teach his children, command his children and his household that they would do these three things, keep the way of the Lord, do righteousness, and do justice. And here's the purpose, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. That the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. I want to spend the rest of the program here to maybe break some spiritual ground that you've never considered before, and that is the way that we respond to our knowledge of God is not just about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but impacting the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that, so that they would understand that God's ways are higher than man's ways, God's thoughts are higher than man's thoughts, and that needs to be done. Okay? God wants to reveal things to you. He wants you and I to do righteousness. What's it say about righteousness with Abraham? That he believed God and it was credited to his account, if you will, as righteousness. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe in the one whom God has sent, to believe in Jesus Christ. And the third one is justice, to do righteousness and to do justice, to treat people the way that they need to be treated, the way that they should be treated, to treat them equitably. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about some of the temptations or some of the threats to justice. But I want you to understand that those three aspects set the stage for the fulfillment of what God has spoken, what promises he has made. What was the promise? He shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. What was the promise? That God was going to give him a son. New Testament says Abraham's body was as good as dead. He was no longer able to produce children at that point in time. That function had ceased. Isaac was a miraculous child. You say, well, how did he have all of those kids after Isaac? Well, it was a sustaining miracle. It wasn't just a miraculous event. It was a complete restoration a function to it, to his body. And he went on to have a number of kids. Most of them ended up having really bad relationships with the children of Israel, but that's another message for another day. God says, I want to bring to Abraham the things that I've spoken to him. And you know what God says? He says he's no respecter of persons. Abraham was in his 60s when God spoke to him, and he said, let's take a walk. Let's go on a journey together. I want you to be willing to go with me, and I will take you to the place that I want you to be. So this is not just a promise to the young. This is a promise for those of us who've got a few birthdays, you know, that our birthday cake almost reaches the point of activating the smoke alarms. But I also want to let you know that this is something that was meant to impact young people as well. He said, Abraham, you've got to pass this along to your kids. Now, I will tell you I'll just say this to parents, okay? If you are not passionately in love with Jesus, I can almost certainly guarantee you it's a very high probability that your kids will be even less passionately in love with Jesus than you are, if they want to have anything to do with him at all. You're supposed to be the example. Now, if you are living for and loving Jesus and doing the best you can, I cannot with 100% certainty promise you that your kids will not wander from the path. I can't make that promise. I wish I could, but I can't. But I can promise you that God is faithful, that God loves them even more than you do, and he has given you a promise that he wants to fulfill, just like in Genesis 18:19. And that is this: if you will train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. So I just want to speak that to you. Don't get fixated on your current circumstance. Understand that God knows your potential. He knows your purpose, and he wants you to impact people so he can fulfill his promise. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.